Dear God, we are indeed standing on your promises. If there are any among us today who are caught bound by fear, God, we ask that you make real your promise to remove that fear from our heart, for we know that your perfect love casts out all fear. God, on this day, help us to let go of fear so that we may cultivate our trust in you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in some ways, the topic for today's sermon seems like the most obvious and desirable thing in the world. Cultivate trust. Let go of fear. There's almost no more reason for me to preach, right? I think this is something we all want. All of us want to cultivate trust and let go of fear. I mean, it's true there are some of us who enjoy the scare of a good roller coaster ride every now and then. Some people enjoy the cinematic thrill of a good horror or action movie every now and then. I'll count myself in that number. But when it comes to real life terror, most of us run in the other direction. So why is it that fear continues to have a grip on so many of us? Because if we're being honest with ourselves, millions of Americans will spend years of their lives and thousands of dollars in therapy and seeking medication to deal with fear and chronic anxiety. And that is a good and healthy thing to do, especially if your anxiety and your worries and your fears have gotten to such a point that you need to seek professional medical help. Some of us make major life decisions not based on the positive benefits that will come to us from making that decision, but because of fear of what the alternative will bring. And some of us avoid making any major decisions at all because we are afraid of the risks that that will involve. So fear clearly has a grip on so many of us, but why is that the case? Friends, we are in the second sermon in a worship series all about cultivating and letting go. And throughout this series, friends, we are using the metaphor of gardening, in which we are talking about how gardeners know that to cultivate something new, it requires a great deal of care and trust and intention and love. But at the same time, you need to let go of any preconceptions you may have about what may happen with the things that you are growing, what may happen with that plant that you are trying to cultivate. And Reverend Jenny started us off last week talking about the need to cultivate focus and let go of distraction. And she used the example of Jesus in the wilderness, who was tested by the enemy three times, who tried to distract Jesus with seemingly good things that would pull him away from his God-given mission. But Jesus remained so laser-like in his focus that he did not lose, and he stayed on track. And so the invitation for all of us throughout this Lenten series is to focus on who God is calling us to become and what we need to let go of along the way. In your bulletins, each one of you will have a piece of origami paper. I invite you to take that out now. And each week, we're inviting you to write down what God is calling you to let go of this week. So last week, we wrote down our distractions. This week, we invite you to write down your fears. I've already written down mine. And then before you leave the sanctuary today, take this piece of paper and leave it at the foot of the cross as a way of signaling that you are giving up those fears to God. And friends, if you do not want to write down any fears on your origami paper, or maybe you're a rare soul who has nothing you're afraid of, so you have nothing you need to write down, you can skip writing it down, but please do return the origami paper to us so that we can reuse it in future weeks. So friends, fear is clearly something that many of us need to let go of, but why does it still have a grip on our lives? And I think the reason that fear continues to have a grip on us is because fear, like all of our God-given emotions, serves a purpose. And the purpose of fear is to keep us safe. Because a reasonable amount of fear, a moderate amount of fear, can help put you on high alert in situations of danger so that you can make good and appropriate decisions to keep you safe. However, too much fear can lead to making bad decisions. It can lead to a lack of sleep, to weight loss or to weight gain. It can lead to incredibly poor health. But the basis of fear is safety. Now, I in my own life know that sometimes fear can get out of whack and I find myself doing things that don't make any sense. Every night I have the same routine. I brush my teeth, I do my journaling, I read a little bit of scripture, I say a prayer, I get under the covers, I say goodnight to Kelsey, and then almost every night, without pause, right as I'm about to go to sleep, I have this fear what if I left the deadbolts unlocked? And so every single night, almost every single night, I pull off my covers and I go check both doors to make sure that they are locked properly. Now, part of the issue is that I have two doors. I'm on the first level of an apartment, so one of them goes out to the hallway, the other one goes out to the street, and one of them is locked when it's horizontal, the other one is locked when it's vertical, so it's very confusing. But at the root of this behavior, of this irrational behavior of mine, is fear. Because there have been situations in my past where an unlocked door led to a feeling of unsafety. And I don't have time to go into all of that right now. You can read more in the written version of the sermon, but there have been times in my own life where an unlocked door led to unsafety. And so I feel the need to make sure that door is locked. But at the same time, I've noticed when I think about my past, in situations in my life when I've had a roommate or a guest or someone else who was spending the night with me, I haven't felt that same urge to check the locks. Now, part of that, of course, is because maybe the person staying with me is more trustworthy and they're gonna actually lock the doors, right? But on the other hand, I can't help but think that the real reason that I feel so calm and at ease when someone else is with me is just knowing that there's the presence of another person in my life. Because so often, friends, I think our fear is not simply based out of a need for safety. It is also based out of the belief that we face these situations on our own. Now, how many people here today have a fear in their lives that comes from a combination of feeling unsafe about a situation and also feeling as if you need to go into that situation all on your own? How many parents in here feel worried about their children and the futures they will have, and they feel as if it's in their hands to mold and shape these children into the people they are supposed to become? How many children in here are worried about their own futures and feel the weight on their shoulders of doing well in school and doing well in sports and extracurricular activities? How many people here who are employed in the workforce feel worried about their job and doing well enough to either get a promotion or just stay in the job because we know the economy is tough? How many people in here today, whenever you get in your car and you go on 93 or Mass Pike, feel a deep sense of terror and dread? Because you know you're only one car in an ocean of angry drivers, all of them willing to do whatever it takes to beat you out. So often, our sense of fear comes from a combination of feeling unsafe and feeling as if we are all alone in the midst of it. But friends, the good news today is that this is not a new problem. People of faith have been struggling with this for millennia. The Old Testament and the New are filled with stories of great men and women of God who were brave not because they did not fear, but because they felt fear and found ways to overcome it with the support of the Lord their God. That's what I love about the scripture reading we had for today from Psalm 27. In it, we read a psalm of David, who was a man who knew what it was to be afraid, to be in frightening situations, and he continued to trust in God. I mean, listen to this psalm. David says that there are evildoers assailing him. He has adversaries and foes, not just one, he has both of them. And they are out to devour his very flesh. And we know that David is not simply writing in the abstract. There were many situations in David's life in which this psalm could be applicable. When David was a young boy, he faced off against the giant Goliath, a huge mountain of a man who was armed with a massive spear and shield, while little boy David only had a slingshot and three stones. Later on, David would face off against the hordes of Philistia, an enemy nation bent on taking over Israel. And then after that, David found himself pitted against the first king of Israel, Saul, his former mentor and friend who was out to kill him. But perhaps the most scary and the most lonely situation in David's life was when his own son, Absalom, raised a rebellion against David that was so successful that it drove David out from Jerusalem, away from his family and friends, so that David was all and utterly alone. David knew what it was like to be in a situation in which his safety was at risk, in which he faced it all alone. He knew what it was to have adversaries and enemies and foes. And the truth is, so do you and me. And I'm not just talking about external adversaries, even though some of y'all may have people in your lives you would put into that category. Instead, I'm talking about those internal enemies, those worries and anxieties and fears that can feel like an enemy army encamped around us in our mind, ready to assail us, ready to devour our very flesh. And so whether or not we are talking about external enemies or internal enemies, we can rest assured that David knew both of those. And yet he was confident. He says in his own words that those enemies will stumble and fall. He feels certain that God will protect him. God will hide him in shelter. He will conceal him under God's tent, and he will set him high on a rock. Why can David feel so confident? Especially because when you pay very close attention to this psalm, the enemies never go away. They're always there. David's enemies do not disappear. They are always front and center in his mind's eye. And yet he feels such confidence. I would submit to you that David can feel this confidence in the face of his enemies because of seeking the Lord's presence. David says, "One thing I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in God's temple." In other words, the one thing David wants is to be with God. And then, friends, in case that wasn't enough, we have the absolute beauty of verses 8 and 9, where three different times David asks to see God's face. And we know that for the Hebrew people, to see God's face was a metaphor to experience the presence of God. David says, "Come, my heart says, seek God's face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me." Now, friends, I do not think that God ever hides God's face from any of us who are willing to seek out God and to engage in a relationship with God. But every now and then, God can feel distant and far away. So even a great man of God like David had to pray a prayer like this just to remind himself of how close God was to him. And for that reason, David can begin this psalm with such utter words of confidence, knowing God is with him. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Friends, these are the words of somebody who knows the presence of God even in the face of his enemies. And friends, if this pattern of seeking God's presence could apply to David, it can apply just as well to you and me today. Now, some of us here today may feel as if God is very distant from you. You may feel as if God is sort of like the stars in the night sky. Beautiful and brilliant, but cold and distant. And yet, friends, I truly believe in my heart of hearts that God is as near to each and every one of us as the air we inhale and exhale. But so often we can forget that. Now, I wish I could give you just a quick fix. I wish I could give you something that would make God feel as near to you as the breath you breathe. But the truth is, great men and women of God often spend decades of their lives trying to cultivate that sense of God's presence. So I cannot offer you a quick fix. I cannot tell you today a quick and easy way to let go of fear and cultivate trust. But I can give you a spiritual practice that I've begun to do myself that has been very helpful for me in those moments when I feel fear and trepidation and I need to know God is with me. It's a very simple prayer. It's a kind of prayer you can do in any situation when you're heading into a difficult or anxiety-producing time. You simply pause, close your eyes, lift up your head, open up your hands, and say these simple words: "God be with me. God be with me." Four simple words, but in my understanding, they summarize what David is getting at here. Just the presence of God in our lives. And the whole prayer is very intentionally based around what David does here. We close our eyes and then we lift our heads up, just like David lifted his head up around his enemies that did not disappear. Your anxieties and your worries will not disappear, but you can know God is with you. And then you can lift up your hands and open them up to the heavens as a way of releasing those fears of anxieties, releasing the control they have over your lives to God. And then you say those simple words, "God be with me," as a reminder that God is with you always. And so, friends, to close today, I want to give each and every one of us an opportunity to practice this kind of simple prayer. If you're not the kind of person who enjoys spiritual practices or praying, I am giving you permission right now to check out for the next 3 minutes. Instead, if you want, you can use your origami paper to write down your fears, or you can just be thinking about your week ahead. My only hope in prayer is that something in the remainder of this sermon helps you learn to deal with your fears and to trust more deeply in God. For everyone else, I invite you to get comfortable in your pews, plant your feet firmly by your side, and then put your hands by your side as well, and then close your eyes if you feel comfortable doing so.
And I want you to think about the week ahead, from this Sunday until next Sunday. Think about all the events you have on your calendar, all the meetings, all the obligations, all the conversations, all the social engagements, all the schoolwork, all the extracurricular activities, all the projects, all the deadlines. Think about everything on your calendar from this Sunday until next Sunday. And I want you to ask yourself and be honest with yourself, what in this week is producing the most fear within me? And with that thing in your mind, I invite you, with your eyes still closed, to lift your head up, to open up your hands toward the heavens, and to say, either in the silence of your hearts or aloud with me right now, God be with me. God be with me. God be with us in this week ahead. God be with us in all our anxieties and all the meetings that we have to have and all the schoolwork we need to take care of, all of our projects, all of our deadlines. God be with us in the midst of all of this. God, help us to know your presence in our lives. Help us to know that you are as close to us as the air we breathe. Help us to know that you are as close to us as David, so that we may triumph over everything we have this week. God, help us learn to let go of fear and to cultivate trust in you. Now, friends, you can open up your eyes again. And my hope is that this prayer that we just did here and now is something that you will be able to do on your own. Whenever you're about to go into that anxiety-producing situation this week, take just a moment to pause. Close your eyes, lift up your head, open up your hands toward the heavens and pray, God be with me. My hunch is that if you do that, you will feel a sense of relief. You will feel calmer. And hey, if it helps you this week, maybe you'll try it again next week. And then over time, you'll feel more and more the presence of God in your life so that you can know that God is with you. And so, friends, let us remember, if we do not learn to let go, we will never figure out how to grow. And this week, God is calling us to let go of fear that tells us the lie that we face these situations of difficulty on our own. And we need to grow into trust, knowing that God is with us. And praying those four simple words, God be with me, is one of the most simple and remarkable reminders that God is with us. May God be with you. May God be with me. May God be with all of us this week and always. Amen.